In the first two verses of Luke chapter 16, we read about a steward. And a steward is someone that's been entrusted with the possessions of somebody else. And their purpose is to use those possessions, to use what belongs to somebody else, to bring benefit, increase, glory, and honor to the owner of those possessions. In Matthew chapter 25, is a very familiar parable to most of us. It's a story that Jesus told about three stewards. The Bible says that there was a man traveling into a far country, and he called three of his stewards together. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another he gave 2, and to the third one he gave 1 talent, the Bible says, according to their abilities. After a long time, the master returns and reckons with his stewards. The first one comes and says, you entrusted me with 5 talents. I've used them to gather 5 talents beside. And the master says to this first steward, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You will be ruler over many things. The second steward comes and says to the master, you entrusted me with 2 talents. I've used them to gain 2 talents beside. And the master says to that steward, well done, good and faithful steward. You also will be a ruler over many things. Now, those two stewards in that story that Jesus told did exactly what stewards were supposed to do. They used what belonged to somebody else. They used what belonged to their master, and they brought benefit, they brought increase, they brought honor and glory to the owner of the possessions of which they were entrusted with. The third steward comes, the one that had been entrusted with 1 talent. And he said this to the master. He said, I knew you were a hard man. I knew that you reap where you don't sow, and that you gather where you strew not. And I was afraid. I was afraid to try to do something because I was afraid I was going to lose the 1 talent that you gave me. And so he said, I hid it. I did not use it. It did not bring any benefit. It did not bring any gain. It did not bring any honor. It did not bring any glory to you. And the master said to that third steward, you wicked and lazy steward. You should have at least taken the talent and give it to the exchangers, to the bank. I mean, that way I would have had what was mine plus some usury or interest. And in punishment for what that steward did not do, the master said, take the talent from him and give it to the one that has 10. And take the unprofitable steward. Cast him into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now again, I would just point out to you before we go on that the master had every right to do that. Because again, a steward was somebody, is somebody that is entrusted with what belongs to somebody else. And if that's in that story, the steward did not use that talent, did not use that property to bring about increase, to bring about gain, to bring about honor, to bring about glory to the master. And so the master had every right to take the talent back, give it to somebody that was going to use it, and reject the steward. I mean, he was no longer a steward for that master. He was cast out. Into outer darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, that story in Matthew chapter 25 takes place at the end of the stewardship. It takes place at the end of the time when these men were responsible for using their master's possessions. And so we see a reckoning, a final accounting. And we see a reward that's passed to the stewards that did what they were supposed to do, use the master's possessions to bring gain, to bring profit, to bring honor and glory. We see the rewards given to the two of them. And we see the punishment that was given to the one steward that did not do the job, did not do what he was supposed to do. So again, in Matthew chapter 25, we see the end of the stewardship. Now in Luke chapter 16, we see stewardship in process. It's not a final accounting. It's not the final reckoning. It's stewardship in process, not at the end yet. And the master in Luke chapter 16 says to his steward, he says, I've heard some things. I've heard some reports. I've heard that you've wasted some of my goods. He says, you better take an account. He says, give an account of thy stewardship. He says, you better take inventory. You better look at what you are doing. And he makes this statement. He says, for thou mayest be no longer steward. He didn't say, you're no longer steward, I'm firing you, I'm kicking you out. He says, take an accounting, look at what you're doing, because I may, it's not a done deal yet, I may no longer let you be a steward. So he says, take an account. Take an account. He was saying, I've heard some things that are unsteward-like. You better give an account to yourself. You may lose your stewardship. And so tonight I want to preach a sermon I've entitled, Give an Account. Give an account. And I want to encourage us tonight, all of us tonight, to do in the same way that the master encouraged the steward. I want us to take inventory. I want us to review what we're doing. It's not the final accounting. It's more of an interim accounting. It's more of a along the way accounting. In process accounting. However you want to say it. But I want to do it in the same context. I want us to think about it. I want us to take this accounting in the same context that the master gave the steward in Luke chapter 16. For thou mayest be no longer a steward. And what the master was saying, you better take a look at what you're doing, because if you don't change, I may fire you. I may no longer let you be a steward. I may take back that stuff that I own, my property that I've entrusted with you. I may take it back, and you will no longer have the opportunity to be a steward. I believe that every Christian is a steward of God. I believe that God entrusts to us what belongs to Him. And I believe that everything that we have comes from Him and ultimately belongs to Him. They're just on loan to us. He's just given us some things that belong to Him for us to use for the purpose of bringing gain to Him, of bringing profit to Him, of bringing honor to Him, of bringing glory to Him. And our job as stewards is to use what belongs to God to do exactly that, to bring the increase, to bring the honor, to bring the glory. So tonight, I encourage you to take an account. How are you doing in your stewardship? What would you do different in the context of losing the ability to be a steward of God? And tonight I think I have 6 or 7 things that I want to mention that have been given to us by God that we need to take an account and look at our stewardship. The first that I'll mention is our spouses, our husbands and our wives. Contrary to what you might think, your husband and your wife do not belong to you. They belong to God. The Bible says that we were all created by God. If we're Christians, we are bought with a price, and that includes every husband and every wife that's a Christian. And so that husband, your husband does not belong to you, dear lady. Your wife does not belong to you, dear sir. They belong to God, and God has entrusted some of his property to you so that we can bring benefit and increase and honor and glory to him. You say, preacher, how do we do that in our marriages? We do that in our marriages by being the kind of husbands that God wants us to be. We do that in our marriages by being the kind of wives that God wants us to be. We do that in our marriages by having the kind of marriages that God wants us to have, the kind of marriages that set the right example for our children and our grandchildren and for others that look at how we operate as husband and wife. The Bible gives us many instructions how to be a husband, how to be a wife. If you've been to any wedding that I've performed, you've heard me say there's 200 instructions to men that are in the Bible that tells us what we ought to be as husbands. There's 400 instructions to ladies that tell us, that tell you what you ought to be as a wife. And you've heard me say, if you've been to one of my weddings, that God, I used to think that God gave twice as many instructions to ladies just because they were ladies and needed twice as many instructions. But then I realized that it's because you have to live with us as men that God gave you twice as many instructions. But verses like Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So I'll ask you tonight, as husbands, how are you doing loving your wives? What would you do different if God said, I'm not going to let you be a steward anymore of this woman that I gave you? What would you do different? Give an account. Give an account. Verses like Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. How are you doing tonight in submitting to your husbands? What would you do different if you were about to lose him? Not tonight. Not again, this isn't the final reckoning. This isn't the final accounting. This is an interim accounting. This is an in-process accounting. I want you to take an account tonight. And if you, as you look at how you're using your husband or wife, and are you using him or her in the way that God intended you to use them to bring honor and glory to him, as you take account of that tonight, what would you do different if God says, Hey, I may no longer let you be a steward. Take an account. What would you do different? The second thing I'll mention to you tonight is our children. Our children are not ours. Our children belong to God. They're his. They are loaned to us. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, the Bible says, bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Bringing them up, loving them like God loves them, teaching them like God wants them to be taught. And by the way, parents, I'll just tell you, there's no age limit that I can find in the Bible for bringing your children up in the nurture of the Lord. There's no age limit. Now, our techniques and our methods may have to change as they get older, okay? But we are never taken off the hook for bringing up our children in the admonition of the Lord. So I'll ask you tonight to take an account. How are you doing in bringing them up? What would you do different if God says, hey, take an account. I may no longer let you be steward in this area. What would you do different? And I encourage you tonight, if you can identify something that you do different as far as your spouse goes, if you can identify something you do different as far as your children goes, then I would tell you, start doing it now. Do it now. Don't wait till next week. Don't wait till next month. Don't wait till next year. Start now. Take an account. The third thing I would mention is our parents. Our parents are a gift from God. You did not choose your mom and dad. They did not choose you. You were given to them by God, and God gave you them as parents. My mom and dad celebrated their 62nd anniversary today. I know that because I was born year and 10 days after they were married. When I was young, I would always say, yeah, my mom and dad got married on the 6th of May and I was born on the 16th. And it always led to a bunch of questions until my mom straightened me out. You need to tell them the year, that there's a year's difference. But the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Honor encompasses respect. Honor encompasses love. Honor encompasses obedience. And again, I find nothing in this book that puts an age limit on honoring your parents. Nothing that puts an age limit on it. I mean, we tell the little children, you ought to honor your father and mother. I'll tell the big children tonight, you have the same responsibility to honor mom and dad. So how you doing? How you doing honoring them? What would you do different? What would you do different if God somehow came to you tonight and said, hey, I may no longer let you be steward in this area. What would you change? What would you change? And if you can identify one thing or two things or three things that you would change, I encourage you, go ahead and change it now. Change it now. This is not the final reckoning. This is not the final accounting. This is an interim accounting, an interim reckoning. Take an account. The fourth thing I would mention is the Bible, the Word of God. The Bible belongs to God. It is His Word. He has entrusted it to us as stewards to use it to bring honor and glory and profit and gain to Him. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, this book of law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. How you doing as a steward of the Word of God? Are you reading it? Are you studying it? Are you memorizing it? Are you meditating in it? Are you observing to do all that is written therein? What would you do different tonight if God came and said, hey, I've noticed your stewardship when it comes to my word. I may no longer let you be steward in this area. What would you do different? Take an account. And if there's something that you can identify that you would do different, change it now. Change it now. The fifth thing that I would mention tonight is the church. It's the church. This church is not ours. It's not mine. It's not the deacons, not the trustees. It does not belong to us. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. And this church belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. I know this is the Sunday night crowd, and for the most part, you're the Wednesday night crowd. But again, even the Sunday night crowd and the Wednesday night crowd need to be preached at every now and then. Take an account. How are you using this body of Christ that you belong to or that you attend? How are you using it? Are you using it to bring honor and glory to the one that it belongs to? Are you using it to bring profit and gain to Him? Are you inviting people to come? When you come, do you come with the attitude, well, I have to go, it's church time, or do you come with the attitude, I can't wait to get there to see what God does? I can't wait to hear what God has for me in this particular service. And if God somehow came and He said, hey, I've noticed how you're using this piece of property that I've given you, and I may no longer let you be steward in this area, what would you do? Would you make a change? And if you would, if you can identify something, I'd say change it now. Change it now. And then the last thing that I would mention is the gospel. The death, burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's not our gospel. It doesn't belong to us. It belongs to God. It's His property. He said in Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." The Bible tells us we are ambassadors for Christ. The Bible tells us that we represent him. The Bible tells us that we have the privilege and joy to share the good news of Jesus Christ with every person that we come in contact with. We need to tell them that everybody's a sinner. There's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We get to tell them that the wages of sin is death. We get to tell them that God proved or commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We get to tell them if they ask Jesus to save them, he in no wise cast them out, but welcome them in to his family. How are we doing in our stewardship of the gospel? Do we share it? Do we tell others? Paul, this morning we were in Romans chapter 1. Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everybody that believeth." So how are we doing? How are we doing in our sharing of the gospel? How are we doing in our stewardship of the good news of Jesus Christ? Tonight, I encourage you, take an account. Take an account. If we're not sharing it, if we're ashamed of it, if we don't take every opportunity that we have to share it with somebody else, we can probably identify some changes that we need to make. If God came to us and said, "Now look, it's not the end of counting, it's not the final reckoning, but I've seen some things, and I may no longer let you be a steward of the gospel," what would you do different? And if you can identify something, I encourage you to make that change tonight. Tonight. I can't tell you how many times I've stood with a family member at a funeral home and heard them say something like this: "You know, you never really know what you have until you lose it." And it just makes me get tight inside. I'm supposed to be there to provide comfort, and I want to hit him in the head. No, 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 no. That's not the way it's supposed to be. We need to know what God has given us. We don't need to start thinking about it when it's gone. We need to start thinking about it when we have it, because it belongs to God. It doesn't belong to us. It belongs to God. We're stewards. And a steward is one that uses what belongs to somebody else to bring honor and glory and profit and gain to that somebody else, to God. And so tonight, I encourage you, take an account. Take an account. Take an account of your spouses. Take an account of your children. Take an account of your parents. Take an account of the Word of God. Take an account of His church. Take an account of His gospel. And as you take that account, if God says, "Hey, I've seen your actions in this area. I may no longer let you be steward." Not a done deal. He uses the word "mayest." "I mayest no longer let you be steward." What would you change? Change it tonight. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the instruction that it gives us. And Father, I pray first of all tonight, if there's somebody here that doesn't know for sure they're on their way to heaven, that they would realize that they're a sinner and that there is a penalty for sin. And that penalty is separation for you. Jesus Christ did pay that penalty when he went to Calvary's cross. And tonight, he offers freely to every person the gift of eternal life. And I pray if there's just one person here tonight that's never received that gift, tonight they would do it. Most of us tonight are Christians. We've been saved. We're on our way to heaven. Father, help us understand our responsibility as a steward. Help us to understand that every good and perfect gift cometh down from a Father above. And what we enjoy is not ours, but yours. And one day, we'll stand and give an account for how we've used what belongs to you. I pray, Father, that we wouldn't wait till that day and say, I didn't know what I had. But we'd realize tonight what you've entrusted us with, and we'd be good and faithful stewards. I pray you bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to be obedient. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.